this special edition of Game Changers Live. This is your host, Dennis Trionis of the Trionis Group. Today I'm joined by James Vanderputten, a principal at Change Marketing Incorporated. Prior to joining Change Marketing, James was the director of global internet marketing services at Pitney Bowes. Jim and I met during the early days of consumer database marketing when he was one of the pioneers of the database marketing discipline at Philip Morris. Jim, thank you for coming here today to discuss one of the hottest topics in marketing, big data.
Thank you, Dennis. Glad to be here and glad to be able to talk about big data, something I've lived with for quite some time and would say that big data has been with us forever. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I note IBM is predicting 4 quadrillion bytes of data sitting in the database. I can't imagine how big that is, but I think they're going to know everything they need to market to us smarter.
Right. Well, before we start, tell us something about Change Marketing and what kinds of clients do you serve and what do you do for them?
Okay. Change Marketing is a B2B consulting firm that helps companies develop healthy pipelines. So starting from perspective of business process to getting the right people to getting the right enabling technologies, we provide the expertise to make all that happen. I've been doing that for the last 10 years while working inside companies as well.
Now, it seems like everyone is talking about big data all of a sudden, but as you know, you and I go way back in this field. What's the hottest data set on the block today?
So I think what's becoming really important is location. And we had a concept 20 years ago that you'd be on an elevator going up to the 18th floor and a commercial for you would pop on the elevator bank video set. Well, we're getting pretty close to that. And so we have people who can put out offers in tremendous time using phones. And the criticality here is now to make an offer to you in real time, where real time used to mean just after you did something or we want you to respond to sometime in the next 2 weeks. Real time means, no, there's an offer for Dennis at the restaurant up the block for Thai food because we see that Dennis likes Thai food. Or more importantly, Dennis has said, yeah, I like Thai food and I want to get offers about Thai food wherever I am.
Now, so that's intriguing. So if I'm a Thai food restaurant chain, right, and I fall in love with this idea of contacting my, quote, best consumers, is there a blowback that could potentially happen that a marketer like yourself would advise an entrepreneur or a chain?
Yeah, so this gets into the whole world of privacy. I mean, NSA aside, there are a lot of people out there are becoming aware that a lot of people are tracking what they're doing. I think there's an obligation that large companies have to let people understand how they're using that data and what the benefits are to them. If I'm getting offers for Thai restaurants and I don't want you to know that, then that's going to be a problem. That's a restaurant I'm not going to go to.
Right.
So it's this whole area of permission, which is, you know, not necessarily First Amendment rights from a marketing perspective, but it really is, how do I make marketing work? I make marketing work because somebody is telling me they want to get offers about this. And this is what marketing has always tried to do. Put an offer in front of somebody at a time which they're ready to make a purchase. And between telecommunications today and big data, we can make that offer in real time for things that you're interested in.
Do folks like you use analytics to actually figure out what the tipping point is between good marketing and marketing that just becomes just too much, where somebody puts the unsubscribe button on?
Yes, you're right. Analytics is at the basis of everything. Because what you want to do is, what is the cost-benefit analysis of the time and energy it took me to create the offer and to serve it? Am I getting the right, at the end of the day, am I getting the right purchase rates, not even click-through rates? 20 years ago, we used to do targeting from, go out and get me a list of the best customers for my product. Now we're at a point of saying, okay, my customer is here. What are the best products for him, and how can I serve that? And now with location, how can I serve it to him in a place where he can take advantage of it mm-hmm. right away? Mm-hmm. And so it's restaurants, it's retail stores, it's wherever you are, it's things trying to get you to go across the street to make a purchase for a sponsored company.
So you mentioned some of these location-focused kinds of companies, right? That what are the best categories of firms that can use this kind of marketing that may not be so obvious?
So I think just do the obvious ones first.
Okay, sure.
So the entire entertainment business, the food industry, the retail industry. The other businesses that will are making a lot of money in this are the guys who manage the data, mm-hmm. the people who can help you analyze the data and do good customer segmentation, match offer to person, and the people who can serve it up. So telecommunications companies, when that offer hits your phone and it works, then you're going to keep doing it. If not, you're going to turn that feature off your phone. You're going to start going and say, don't send me these kinds of offers, and that will be the end of the game. So I think that's what we have to work on, is to have the analytics to tell us that it's working, that we're getting a cost benefit for all the analytics we paid for all the serving that we paid for, and all the offer redemption that we paid for.
Are CMOs up to the task today, in your opinion, to understand how to leverage data in the way, at the level and depth that you're talking about?
I think in large corporations and upper mid-sized companies, for sure. They may not have been 5 or 7 years ago, but they've been reading the Holy Grail on this. They've seen the difference in well-targeted opportunities and how those deals turn into cash. I think they took a hit because they were not technically adept. Mm-hmm. They were never supposed to be, but their core, yeah. How do I get my brand in front of somebody and they take advantage of it? This has just become another touch point. That's all it is.
Where are the best data gurus being sort of groomed today? I mean, where's the next James Van Der Putten coming from?
So I think you're seeing this a lot in agency world, because uh-huh. there's a gap that large companies are going through where they're really focusing on their core product set and look at analytics and marketing sometimes as contextual. So they're looking for data shops, and they're looking for agencies who said, you know what, we need the data. If you have the data, you have the client. And I think it's a hard discipline to bring inside a large corporation because of the commitment you have to make. These people have to stay abreast of current technologies, which means trade shows, which means lots of different client set, which they won't get internally. So I think the large data shops get that advantage of learning from each other, learning from the numerous clients that they have.
We're coming up to the break in a moment, but before we do, I'd like to get a sense of what advice you would give a young person who's just starting their career in data analytics or data-focused marketing. What would be the one skill set that you feel is the most important that they should hone?
They have to develop their insight on what the brand delivers. The technology is going so fast, becoming so much easier. We all know 5 years from now, we're going to talk to the computer, and the computer is going to spit out the report or the set of numbers. What really needs to happen is someone's got to look at that and say, how does this change the way I market to somebody? When I was at American Express, we were pioneers in all the data that we had. We had your transactions, your location, demographics, and it was nice reporting, but we were obligated at that point as marketers, if I know something more about you, then I should market to you differently in time, in offer, in cadence, with permission. So I think it's the bigger jobs are going to be, how do I take all this data, which is, you know, going to be reams and reams, quadrillion bytes of data, and create a marketing message out of this, create an offer that someone can understand at a time in which they want to take advantage of it.
We're going to follow up on that theme after the break. This is Dennis Troianos for Game Changers Live. I'm here talking with James Van Der Putten, a principal at Change Marketing, LLC. You've been listening to a special edition of Game Changers Live. Game Changers Live is brought to you by the Troianos Group, excellence in retained executive search in the marketing and analytics industry. James, welcome back. What are the barriers for adopting a data-centric marketing focus?
Well, I think you have to start off with a commitment to being customer-focused. And this is not just something that the CEO says or the CMO says. Something that's really true, when the CEO can tell you how many customers he has and how many he's lost in the last year and how many products he says, as well as he can tell you about about his EBITDA numbers, then you know that that company is customer-centric. Because today, unlike where we were 15 years ago, 10 years ago, customers have all these options, and they've figured out because of this Google thing that when I want to buy something, I'll go ask, where is it? And Google will take me there. And if I'm not keeping focus on what my customers want and buy the most from me and how I deliver it, then it doesn't matter what else I have. And it is a big challenge in any kind of outbound marketing. So advertising, email going out the door, it really is this challenge of inbound when somebody wants it. And I said before, this focus on, well, now someone's near an offer, I need to put that offer in front of them in a way that they like to get the offer. So listening to your customers is paramount. Tagging your database with the way your customers like to exchange with you is really important.
You mentioned the word cadence. I'd like you to kind of expand on that a little bit and talk about that.
So some people worry that there's too much mail in the mailbox in the old days. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to a CEO of a very large company who wanted to restrict the amount of mail that we sent out. And I said, well, if we do that, we're just making it easier for our competitors' mail to be opened. I said, we can send mail all the time if the mail is worth $5. We used to call it junk mail. Today we don't. Now with cadence, we need the data guys to say, you know, it looks like we're getting the right kinds of response rates, open rates. We're looking at the various range. If we're seeing them going down, it could be a cadence issue that we're overdoing it. But not to assume automatically that, oh, I can only send a message out once a week. If people love what it is that you're offering, you can send it to them every day and probably today every hour. So I think cadence is important. It's one of the things that you measure in terms of how often do I do it. But it should be driven by the data. And the really big companies that do this well will really understand that it's the offer and that the responder would tell you when it's too much. Don't put in these arbitrary rules.
In other words, listen to your consumer, listen to your customers. They'll give you a lot of the insight.
And listen to the data. I mean, so you're going to have to rely on these data people,
right,
who are now data inside, highly technical people, and understand that they're watching this behavior. And behavior is what's the most important thing. I mean, if you look at someone coming to your website and their cadence was 1, 2, 3, all right, maybe they're mildly interested. If their cadence becomes 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, so, you know, here's somebody who really is about to buy. And so this whole idea of perception and how big data can help you get to perception, which puts the right offer in front of you at the right time, which is something you may have heard for the last 30 years, that this is what's going to happen with the big data. The guys who understand it and can manipulate it and can serve up offers, that's going to be critical.
What do you see as the biggest failures when it comes to using data in the corporate world?
I think people get overwhelmed by the reporting. They think that reporting is what I need. They're not focusing enough on behavior. They're looking for the wrong, they're measuring the wrong outputs. They're looking at likes. They're not looking at engagement. They're looking at open rates. They're not looking at purchases. So if you build this false foundation of key performance indicators that kind of look at something that felt like impressions a long time ago, and you're not looking at behavior, what's really happening, that's the real risk. So you need to focus today on the internet. You've got to look at, what is my real engagement? If it's in social, is my stuff being passed around? To whom is it being passed around? Or am I just going out there and having people click on my site and say they like me? Or they're putting a thumbs up, whatever it is, that's not really engagement you want. You want people to share, to comment on. And then you want to use those comments and do something with it.
Has social media crossed the divide between these simple likes versus calls to action, in your opinion?
I think they're probably at the precipice. Some companies really do it better than others, and it really goes back to the last point. When the company is looking to count up how many likes I have, how many fans, and realize that there, a lot of cases they're buying that. If you say you can get your coupons by visiting us on Facebook, well, that's where people are going to go to get your coupon, but they're going to go to get the coupon from your competitor at the same time. It's really the engagement that you're looking for. So we do have to watch sort of this social leadership and understand that today it's 10 to 15% of the mix of what's really working, particularly on a B2B side.
So here's a question that I always like to ask somebody with your perspective. What's the next big thing in data-focused marketing and analytics?
I think that the issues around privacy are going to become real this year because of everything that's going on around the NASA issues. I think the emergence of smart database marketers who get the data will be the big thing. I think we have all the data that we need. We know where you are. We know when you did something. We have the behaviors that we want. We're able to match that to offers. I think that there's going to be sort of a leveling of the field, though more and more web data is going to come to play. And the next thing that's going to happen is the ability to stream instead of just putting an offer out on your phone. Hey, here's an offer for the Thai food. You know, we're going to show you the restaurant. We're going to zoom in if you want to look at how things are made. Just because we're going to be able to stream more data because we're getting more visual in what we do.
Jim, thanks for spending time on Game Changers Live, sharing your insight, your wisdom with our audience. You've been listening to a special edition of Game Changers Live. Today I was joined by Jim Vanderputten, Change Marketing LLC, and we were talking about big data. Until next time, this is Dennis Trianos for Game Changers Live.